yesterday and some of you from the summer camp. Actually, if you want to know who started the summer camps here in Switzerland, it's Raja Vidyaprabhu, who sits there between, flanked by two goddesses of fortune, Hare Krishna. He started it. I'm not sure, was it in the Tessin? Tessin, yes. And from there, I think more or less regularly each year, it continued up to the present time. So here is the original, the Adi Father, Hare Krishna. I want to speak something which I think will capture all of our interests. See, the normal progression in spiritual life is faith comes after doubt. We are living our lives and we meet perhaps the devotees and we feel some attraction, but we need to first explore if we can really identify with Krishna consciousness. We have some doubts that needs to be clarified, and then such a faith which comes not as a result of blind belief, blind acceptance, but after exploring if this is my path, such a faith is usually very, very firm. We see this in our young generation that often our children accept, of course, what the parents live, and then there comes a period in their lives where they have to maybe go through a period of exploration. Is this true for me? What about this? What about that? So this faith which is coming then as a result of first doubting and clarifying your doubts is a very strong and healthy faith. But there is something, and we will deal with this pastime which I'm about to explain, will deal with this. There is something which you could call doubt after faith. You have believed for some time into something. You may have also reached this faith after battling with your doubts, but perhaps you didn't do a very good job, or perhaps later further doubts came, and then there is this faith after doubt. This doubt after faith. And that's something which needs to be addressed. If it is not addressed, it might create to further complications on your spiritual progress. So this will be the subject matter. You can already understand. Oh my God, it will get serious this morning. Good, so let us start.
Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jai Jai Radha Madhava
kunjabi hari
gopi jana vallava giri varadani
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 yasoda nandana Raja Jana Randana
Yashoda Nandana Raja Randana
Raja Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Randana
Yashoda Nandana Raja
Randana Yamuna Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira
Neya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Neya
Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Prabhu Parad, Prabhu Parad, Prabhu Parad, Sila Prabhu Parad. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Gaura Prema Nandi, Hare Krishna. Such nice medanga, no? So, Bhavuka medanga. So, Hare Krishna, once again, welcome to this class. We will be dealing with a difficult but very easily solvable problem, that is the doubts which come after our initial faith and that need to be addressed so that we can happily and smoothly continue in our spiritual path. And we will do this, we will hear about a pastime and draw some lessons from this pastime. Good. I will need the book. Om Namo, or auf Mobiltelefon geht auch, also aber mit Sanskrit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Ichami Ramasya Bhuta Karmana Anantasya Prameyasya Yat Anyat Kritavan Prabhu Jovacha Bhuyoham Shrotam Ichami Ramasyat Bhuta Karmanah Anantasya Prameyasya
Yad anyat kritavan prabhu.
Yad anyat kritavan prabhu.
Yes, please someone else.
Shri Rajo Vacha.
Shri Rajo Vacha.
Yoham Shrutum Ichami.
Yoham Shrutum Ichami.
Masya Buddha Karmana.
Masya Buddha Karmana.
Anantasya Prameyasya.
Anantasya Prameyasya.
Yadanyat Kritavan Prabhu.
Yadanyat Kritavan Prabhu.
Shri Rajo Vacha.
Shri Rajo Vacha.
Aham Shrutum Ichami.
Bhujavam Shrutum Ichami.
Asya Bhuta Karmana.
Namasya Bhuta Karmana.
Anantasya Prameyasya.
Anantasya Prameyasya.
Yadanyat Kritavan Prabhu.
Yes, one Vaishnavi or two or whatever.
Shri Raja Vacha.
Shri Raja Vacha.
Bhuyoham Shrutam Ichami.
Bhuyoham Shrutam Ichami.
Ramasya Bhuta Karmana.
Ramasya Bhuta Karmana.
Shri Raja, Raja,
Shri Raja,
the glorious King Parikshit,
the glorious King Parikshit,
Vacha,
Vacha,
said,
said,
Bhuyaha,
Bhuyaha,
further,
further,
Aham,
Aham,
I,
I,
Shrotum,
Shrotum,
to hear,
to hear,
Ichami,
Ichami,
wish, Ramasya,
Ramasya,
of Lord Balaram,
of Lord Balaram,
Adbhuta,
Adbhuta,
amazing,
amazing,
Karmanaha,
Karmanaha,
whose activities,
whose activities,
Anantasya,
Anantasya,
unlimited,
unlimited,
aprameyasya,
aprameyasya,
immeasurable,
immeasurable,
yad,
yad,
what,
what,
anyat,
anyat,
else,
else,
kritavan,
kritavan,
did,
did,
prabhu,
prabhu,
the Lord,
the Lord.
And here's the translation for you. The glorious King Parikshit said, I wish to hear further about Shri Balaram, the unlimited and immeasurable Supreme Lord, whose activities are all astounding. What else did he do? So this is, one moment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachamine Nivishesha Sanyavadi Askatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Sadi Go Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
never gets tired, not chanting this. Very good. My dear devotees, this 67th chapter of the Bhagavatam opens with a question of King Parikshit. Now the Bhagavatam will slowly move towards the end of the 10th canto, which mainly has pastimes
of Krishna and some of Balaram, but Parikshit wants to know specifically more about Sri Balaram. And as Shukadev begins to tell him more, he will enter a pastime of Lord Balaram that is very significant for practicing devotees. And we will see the significance in the middle of the pastime when we will move from the direct activities that happen to the deeper adhyatmic artha, or the spiritual significance. It is quite interesting to see this move from the direct pastime, which should be relished, to the message to the devotees. It's a quite interesting move for those who are interested in spiritual literature. It will be quite something. And for people like me, who are a little simple, I will just, it's relishable. So here is, here we go. So after being questioned by Parikshit Maharaj to please reveal more about Lord Balaram's activities, Shukadev begins and he says, "There was a huge monkey, an ape, named Dvivida, who was a friend of Narakasura. This powerful Dvivida, the brother of Mainda, had been instructed by King Sugriva." So we hear here about a personality called Dvivida, who is in a huge King Kong-like shape, a mighty monkey who had a past life, or perhaps he was surviving from this time. He was instructed by Sugriva. This means he was in contact with Lord Rama. Sugriva was at the time of Lord Ram. So Jiva Goswami revealed some very interesting point about this personality. I think we are already fascinated. What? He is someone from Ram's pastimes, which happened millions of years ago, who is reappearing in Krishna's pastimes. Wow, promises to be interesting. So Jiva Goswami points out some interesting facts about the ape Dvivida. Although Dvivida was an associate of Lord Ramachandra, he later became corrupted by bad association with the demon Naraka, as stated here. Narakasya Saka. Saka means a friend. He was a close one. Not just from the distance. He was very close to Naraka Sura. This bad association was the reaction for an offense Dvivida had committed when, being proud of his strength, he had disrespected Lord Ramachandra's brother Lakshman and others. Now this monkey had become so, he was fighting in the Vanara army next to Ramachandra, and I don't know the particular incident, I forgot it, but there was a time that he thought he is the superior Kshatriya on the battlefield, and he made a comment that was very disrespectful to Lakshman. Those who worship Lord Ramachandra sometimes chant hymns addressed to Mainda and Dvivida, who are attendant deities of the Lord. Oh, here we hear more. So there were two, Mainda and Dvivida. They were ministers actually in the army of Sugriva, who fought for Ramachandra. And and when you worship Ramachandra, those Ram Bhaktas, they will address these two personalities. They are called Avarana deities. Yes. They are attendants during the worship of Ram. There's Ram, no? When you look at the altar of a Ram Bhakta, there's Ram, and then there's smaller deities of this Dvivida and Mainda who need to be worshipped. Just like sometimes in Krishna Puja, or in Nrisimha Puja especially, but also Krishna Puja, we worship Garuda or, wait a minute, Ganesh, no? To remove obstacles. So they are Avarana deities, they are attendants, and they are worship when you worship the main deity. So Dvivida, we hear, was so exalted. You will find him on the altars of the Ram Bhaktas. More interesting. According to Jiva Goswami, the Mainda and Dvivida mentioned in this verse are empowered expansions of these deities who are residents of Lord Ramachandra's Vaikuntha domain. More interesting, my God, there's Ramachandra, he has his own domain, and there are Dvivida and Mainda, and they are now here in this world. You can call them Shaktiyavesh avatars of those forms. And so they are one and different. They are not there in the spiritual world. They are here with us in the material world as Mainda and Dvivida. But they have their spiritual counterpart, their original parts as Mainda and Dvivida in Vaikuntha. Wow. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concurs, means he's of the same opinion, with Srila Jiva Goswami's view that Dvivida was ruined by bad association, which was a punishment for his having disrespected Sriman Lakshman. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states, however, that the Mainda and Dvivida mentioned here are actually eternally liberated devotees addressed as attendant deities during the worship of Lord Ramachandra. The Lord arranged their degradation, he says, to show the evil of the bad association that results from offending great personalities. Thus, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti compares the fall of Dvivida and Mainda to that of Jai and Vichai. Are you bewildered or is it clear? Just so that we have it, we need this little detail to enjoy everything and relish everything nicely. So, there is Ram who has eternally liberated associates. But in order to show a lesson to the sadhakas here in this world, he has arranged their downfall so that they became opposed to him. And this is comparable to Jai and Vijay, who were with Lord Narayan in the spiritual world, and then the Lord arranged a particular pastime which involved the four Kumaras and how these two, Jai and Vijay, were cursed by them so that they come into this world also to teach us a certain lesson. We won't be able to touch that lesson. So these two, Dvivida, we will mostly speak about Dvivida, on serving devotees here in this world as signpost. Devotees, be careful,
that this doesn't happen to you. Be attentive. Be attentive. Be kind. When we eat prasadam at the end in Bengal, they say our Deva Dharma will be here. Sadhu, be attentive. You know, it means don't eat too much. That you have health problems at the end. No? So, sadhu. How do we say this in Bengal? Sadhu Savdan, something like this.
Sadhu Savdan.
Sadhu Savdan. Sadhu. Again?
Sadhu Savdan.
Savdan. Sadhu Savdan. So be attentive. Damodar Prasad, be careful. Bhagdalavya, take note. So what we should be Sadhu Savdan, what we should be attentive, you will hear now. It all started for Dvivida when Lord Vamandev appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj and asked him for 3 steps of land. I think you all remember this. 3 steps of land. But then he cheated. Vamandev, with 1 step, took all the upper planetary systems. With the 2nd step, he grew. Bali was thinking, my God, whom have I promised 3 steps of lead? He was like a dwarf. He was so small. Now he takes the second step, and he takes everything in the universe. And then Vamandev looks down to Bali and said, you cheated me. You said I would get 3 steps of land, but with 2 I've taken everything. Where should I put my 3rd? So Bali could understand, this is God. It's not just a normal small Brahmin who has some genetic situation that he doesn't grow. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who came and in this way wanted to take all the territory that I conquered by fair fight. and so on. So when Vivida saw this, what is this? This is not good. And he developed some negative thoughts about Vamandev. This is not good. This is unfair dealings. This negativity, so Dvivida is a powerful personality, you know, he's an associate of Lord Ram, you know, not an ordinary person. So he apparently lived on, like, do you know another personality from Ram Leela who lives on?
Jambavan.
Yes, and of course the most famous is Hanuman, no? He's still here in some part of the universe, no? So he lived on, and he made friendship with a powerful asura called Narakasura. Now, when you look at Indian movies of asuras, they are not very correct representations. They are highly some of them are highly cultured. Ravana could chant the Vedic hymns so perfectly that at his time there was no one who chanted the Vedic hymns like this. The reason why they are asuras is not that they are low-class people. They're very knowledgeable and sometimes very cultured, but their mood is not is against God. They are not for God. No, therefore they are asuras. So, Dvivida saw the tremendous intellectual abilities of Narakasura, his power, his skills in battle and became a close friend. And when Krishna came to Narakasura, who had imprisoned, is that the Narakasura? He had imprisoned the 16,000 yes. queens, no? When Krishna came to liberate these 16,000 princesses who later became his good wives. Hare Krishna. Let us not disrespect the deities. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Pujari ji, you are our friend. You show us God this morning. So when Vivida saw that Krishna, by his ways, he avoided all the high security measures which Narakasura had established before his palace, and Krishna was with Garuda, avoiding all of this. His negativity, Dvivida saw that, and his negativity increased. And it went to a high point when Krishna finally killed his friend Narakasura. In the company of Narakasura, it had happened that Dvivida, an exalted soul, had become degraded. So he thought, this is too much. I've seen this with Vamandev, this dealings of this person who's called Bhagavan. I've seen this in his other form as Krishna. This is too much now. I can't tolerate this. And he sat on a, he took to a campaign of you know, revenge. He set fires to the city and villages which were near to Dwaraka. He destroyed the hermitages, you know, the ashrams of the sadhus. Then he entered the ocean, and with the strength of 10,000 elephants, he churned up the waters which would flood all the coastal areas. Especially, he devastated the province of Anata, where where Lord Hari dwelt, the killer of his friend. Now you can see that somehow this personality had developed doubts in the Lord, and as a result of these doubts, which increased as he was a witness of the Lord's pastime, he became actually opposed against the Lord. Now once, when he was roaming the lands, he heard very sweet music from the mountain of Raivata. It's a mountain, you know, there's Dwaraka in the ocean, and if you would cross from Dwaraka and come to the mainland, then there would be this huge mountain, Raivata, whose top was very often surrounded with rain clouds. It is described when Uddhava, the great friend of Lord Krishna, saw these rain clouds, these bluish rain clouds at the top of Raivata, he would bow down and cry ecstatic tears of love of Godhead because they reminded him of the bluish complexion of Krishna.
So Prabhupada writes about what happened next in his Krishna book, and I would like to read this from you, for Krishna book. Is this okay for you?
Yes.
Good. Then I make a little music here. We brought our orchestra with us. It's nicer to listen when we have something. So, getting ready already. So while Divida, the mighty monkey, created these great disturbances all over the country, sometimes he heard very sweet musical sounds from Raivata Mountain. And so he entered the mountainous region. There he saw Lord Balaram in the midst of many beautiful young girls, enjoying their company while singing and dancing. The Lord would sing very nicely, and these beautiful damsels would dance. It was a small rasa dance, you can say. He became captivated by the beauty of Lord Balaram's body, whose every feature was very beautiful. He was decorated with a garland of lotus flowers. Lord Balaram's beauty is known. He has a whitish complexion, which looks as white as camphor, and he has beautiful locks of hairs that are shiny, actually, and his lotus eyes are very, very extended, and he's a lover of dance, and is dressed. What is his preferred color?
Blue.
It reminds him of Krishna, no? So therefore he's dressed in blue. So this makes a contrasting dress. He was very beautiful. And he has a garland of what? Lotus flowers. Similarly, all the young girls present, dressed and garlanded with flowers, they seem to have flower dresses and so on, exhibited much beauty. Now, there was something special about Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram seemed fully intoxicated from drinking. What is his drink?
Varuni.
It is made from honey that is a little fermenting, so it has a little booze in it. And his eyes appear to be rolling in a drunken state. Beautiful. Lord Balaram appeared, listen to this comparison, just like the king of the elephants in the midst of many she-elephants. Here's a song. Would you like to know what Balaram sang in this highly exhilarated state?
Yes.
You will hear his song now. He's singing. I will not attempt to sing because it's very beautiful. But he sang, the earth is spinning around. The earth. The moon hangs upside down. And why are you all laughing about me? Bring me my vessel for drinking. I want to drink some more. Rupa Goswami says, may Balaram's intoxicated state protect you from becoming intoxicated by Maya. Yes. Thinking about Lord Balaram, Prabhupada makes a point, after he saw the bird spinning around, that is what, some of you might not never have drunken alcohol, but those of us who have, that is very Everything moves very, very straight. The moon hangs upside down. I don't know how that looks, but that's what he says in his perception. And everyone laughs about him. So then Lord Balaram said, okay, I better take a rest. And he took a rest and so on. So when Dvivida saw this scene, a beautiful personality dancing in a very wonderful way with the most beautiful damsels, it was a little overwhelming for him. He started to make funny gestures. He stood and suddenly passed urine and stool before them. He broke branches of big trees, which made the sound kila kila. This is a sound which monkeys like, you know. Then he showed his undressed anus to the girls, who some commentators say were Braj gopis. But the girls, you know, they are happy there with Balaram. They just laughed, knowing that Balaram was there and there would be no problem with this being. But when Balaram saw that this being, you know, this huge demon, you have to be careful, this huge monkey did all these things, especially these obscene gestures, you know. He became angry and picked up a rock and threw it at Dvivida, but Dvivida just went like, and the rock flew over his head. Then he, Dvivida, grabbed the pot of Varuni of Lord Balaram, and he began to attack these beautiful damsels and pulled off the cloth from their backs and then ripped them. And Balaram now decided Dvivida must die. So he called his club and his plow weapon, and he entered the fray in all seriousness. My dear devotees, let's pause here for a moment and see, is there a spiritual lesson for us? It's such lessons are called adhyatmik artha. Artha means meaning, adhyatmik the spiritual meaning. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in fact gives us a spiritual meaning. He says Dvivida represents the tendency to become godless and go against the wishes of the Lord. I have a god brother who is known for his poetic expression, and he says, every morning I wake up as an atheist, someone who is covered and is not for the supremacy of the Lord, but has his own plans. So Balaram in this pastime represents the guru. Who else? He's Guru Tattva, who removes the atheistic tendency. So Dvivida had become atheistic or godless, showed this tendency. It's for lessons, no? And Balaram is the guru who removes the atheistic tendencies. When we have a problem of being a little distant from the service of the Lord, yes, we can go to a spiritual master, our spiritual master, and provided our heart is open to receive spiritual instructions, he can help us remove this opposing tendency. We enter here into something which is interesting, a second meaning to what is happening. In the Bhagavatam you find other examples. For instance, King Uttanapada, who had two wives, from which he had two children. Do you remember the first wife of Uttanapada?
Suniti.
Suniti means wisdom. And the child which he had with Suniti is Dhruva, which means determination, when you translate the word. Second wife of Uttanapada, Suruchi, which was delight in material taste. And the son which came is Uttam, yes. So it's very interesting. You hear here a king who has two wives with interesting names. Material taste and wisdom. What does his name mean? And as you go into this, Uttanapada means, pada means feet, and Uttana means upside down, upside. So the feet of, so it means he whose feet are upside. Whose feet are upside? Any idea? Your feet are down, Damodar Prasad. Whose feet are upside? I will turn to Radha Sundari, who is helping children to come into the world. Anything strikes you? The embryo, before taking birth, has its feet up, and the head is down, and then he comes into this world with the head first, and the feet come late. Am I correct?
Yes.
No. I'm asking, in most cases, or is it half half or? it's nice for my point. It's correct, you know. Ja, die kommen mit dem Kopf zuerst raus. Da gibt es ja Bilder. In Bio, haben wir in Biologie gelernt. So, Uttanapada represents the living being. When the living being associates with sensual delight, that is Suruchi, the result is Uttama, high sense gratification or prayers. When the living entity associates with Suniti or wisdom, the outcome of that is Dhruva or spiritual determination. It's called in Sanskrit also, what is it, this intelligence? Shreyas, no? Prayas is that which drives you towards immediate sense gratification. Let us say you have eaten already three pizzas, but it's so good, it's so good, it's Ljubljana pizza. and you feel very interested and go more and more and go over your borders and your health and so on. This is, at first it is very tasty, it is very good, but then you have a bad stomach or headache, at least when you are over 60 and you do these things. So prayas, but shreyas is what you do for the long term good, not for the short term exciting enjoyment, but which you do for the long term good. This is a certain intelligence. It is very required for spiritual life to plan your life in such a way that you will ultimately reach the lotus feet of the Lord and the personal service of Radha and Krishna. No, this is a long-term vision. For this end, you might get up early
here. For this end, you engage in spiritual practice. For this end, you say at times no to those things which pull you away from your spiritual good. Shreya's oriented intelligence is highly necessary to make the journey perfect. If you and we all know prayers, this immediate desire for sense gratification comes always. So here you find in the Bhagavata an example how a particular pastimes bears in its womb or inside there is a lesson. Be careful to not associate with sensual delight and only think of what is of immediate good, but associate with suniti, with wisdom, so that you can get this determination which is required for Shreyas, the ultimate good in life. Could you understand this, or was it too fast? Yeah? When the living entity associates with immediate satisfaction, it cannot always reach the spiritual goal. We must associate with that which is beneficial for our long-term good, and then we will, when you have this intelligence, you have determination for your spiritual development. There are many lessons in the scriptures, but let me just go to the lesson here. So although Dvivida is a Shaktyavesh avatar of the Dvivida in the spiritual world, he developed negativity against Krishna, became unfavorable because of his contact with the gunas, the modes of tamas and rajas. Even Sugriva had instructed him, who's very close to Lord Ram. So, my dear devotees, what is now important for us to look at is we all know how we can develop spiritual advancement. But do we know how our spiritual compromise, let us call it very softly compromise, how it starts, and what are the stations which we pass before we really come to the level of being material minded again? First, you all know the gradual steps for spiritual advancement. Where does it start? Shraddha, then? Sarusanga, what do we learn there? Bhajana Kriya, how to do our bhajan. What is the result of doing bhajan? Anatta Nivritti, yes, you become free from anattas, from unwanted habits, and you develop then steadiness, taste for Krishna, bhava, and prema. We have heard this in many lectures, no? No need to go through this. It teaches us how from a little seed that is beginning faith, small faith in Krishna consciousness, it grows and grows and grows into a huge tree which has a fruit, the fruit of love. Small beginnings, little shadow. Oh, let me associate with these people. Perhaps I come to the temple, sit in the kirtan. I don't like the philosophy, but the kirtan I appreciate. Maybe take a little prasadam, but maybe be careful. Maybe they are not vegan here. So, you know, it starts with a little beginning shraddha. In this age, it's usually people appreciate kirtan. That's the first thing, because kirtan gives them an immediate spiritual result, no? But what happens if you have had some initial faith? You have gone through the path as you do, and then you develop doubt again. In the first scenario, there was first a doubt, and then by association with devotees, usually, little faith has developed, which can, if you continue the path, grow into the fruit of love. But here's another scenario. You had faith, like Dvivida. Oh, Dvivida, exalted personality. But then some doubt came. Is this really good what Vaman did? I mean, three steps of land. Then he grows. Why didn't he first show who he is? And then Narakasura, a good person. He was just, his head was cut of all things. And so on. Doubts came. What happens with your doubt? How do your doubts come? Some of you have doubts in Krishna consciousness. How do I know? Well, if you would be totally free from doubt, you would live on a different level. You would have different priorities in your life. You would be more spiritually charged. You know, doubts, they sap our energy. And they are sometimes very subtle. Maybe sometimes we have not really done this work to face them, to look at them. We just, they're somewhere there in our unbewusstsein, our subconscious mind, and so on. Here is something for us practicing devotees, which is the road of doubt. How the development of doubt. You have heard the development of Krishna consciousness. Now hear the development of doubt, and so that you can detect it when it comes. The first is, interestingly, this is Jiva Goswami now, kutilyam, it means crookedness. That you might think, in order to survive as a devotee in the Sangha of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to get by, I have to develop a certain behavior, although this is not my conviction, really. Let me give you an example of crookedness. It comes from Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Let us say I like to eat, but the spiritual, the Krishna consciousness movement has some ascetic things. You know, you don't have certain associations, you don't take certain things which other people eat, you don't eat it, and so on. And I may do all these things in secret, but I may not I may be crooked in this way. Or, a simple example, there is this Sunday feast, and I like gulab jamuns. I can eat 50, no problem. But the server comes by here in our Zurich temple. We go up the stairs and get, often there is an arrangement where devotees sit down or guests sit down, and then the servers come, and I have eaten one gulab jamun. I'm ready to eat 50, but it doesn't look good, especially when I'm a sannyasi. I mean, I should not be, they will all talk about me. He came to Zurich and ate 50 gulab jamuns. What is that, you know? That's not what we expect a spiritual leader to do, you know? So I know this, and I say, I've eaten one gulab jamun. I'm a sannyasi. Let the others eat. And then when the Sunday feast is over, I say to Gaur Krishna, Gaur Krishna, look in the kitchen. Is there more gulab jamuns? You know? So this is called kutilyam, crookedness, in order to maintain a facade that is serving you in some ways. That's how it starts. Not be honest, not be authentic, be crooked. And it can happen in sanghas, no? The next thing,
in ashraddha, faithlessness, but specific faithlessness towards the shastras. Oh my God, this is what it says in the scriptures. I really can't believe it. There are some statements. I went to university. It doesn't match really the modern exploration. And we develop some faithlessness. Then it continues. We become absorbed. It's called I forgot the Sanskrit, but it abhinivesha means absorption in things that are not the Lord. No, we become very absorbed in material things, and I don't know. And we cannot pull ourselves out of it any longer. It's in us. And then bhakti satilya, we become loose in our bhakti practice. Oh yeah, 16 rounds. That's what the young people promise at the initiation fire. But let us look at modern ISKCON, 16 rounds, huge, and 16 rounds of the older devotees. So you become loose in the bhakti practice, and then comes, this is very prominent, you have to be careful, sva bhakti dhamba. It means you take great pride in what you have done in bhakti. For instance, if I would say, anyways, I don't even want to say it. If someone wishes to say, I have made this project, I have written this, and you become very proud, like the pen means writing instrument, who was used by an author, but who thinks, I wrote the book. Imagine here in Switzerland, Monte Veritas, we know Hermann Hesse wrote some really moving books, and imagine the pen or writing instrument he uses claims, I have written the book. Why is Hermann Hesse glorified? I am to be glorified, you know. So taking pride in what you have done in bhakti. Would you like to hear it in summary?
Yes.
Yeah, in some ways, no. But it's, we hear this in order to avoid it. Crookedness, faithlessness towards the shastras, absorption in things that are not connected with Bhagavan. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, be a cultured person, but try to bring it in contact with the Lord. The Lord is behind everything. Then lose in your bhakti practice, then taking pride. This pride is always there. This I and mine, this wanting to attain fame in the association of devotion. So all this brings you to Dvivida's position. You may have been strong in your spiritual life, you may have been very advanced, but somehow you were not careful enough. You were not able to see the weeds that surrounded your bhakti, that began to grow next to your bhakti lata, which is absolutely natural in this world. I mean, we wouldn't be in this world if this wouldn't come. And you were not conscious enough that, my God, here is something coming up in me which takes my enthusiasm, my love, my joy in Krishna consciousness away from me. These are just five things which Jiva Goswami said. There may be more weeds even. Lord Chaitanya speaks of slightly different weeds that develop. Oh, at the moment. I'm so much invested in this. You know, the in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives an analogy. And I also don't want to talk about weeds today too much, you know. Negative talk will not help us ultimately. It is pointing out where we need to be a little bit aware and conscious. But we still need to then turn this around and have an authentic association, you know, where there is heart-to-heart communication, where you are even opening your mind and you don't need to play a role any longer. And there is something you can do to increase your relationship to scriptures. For me, for instance, I went to this course. I'm going to this Bhagavatam course. Even today, I will try to make it. And after I took the first course, I thought, my God, this is so deep. Where have I been all these years? You know, you can do things to increase your relationship to Shastra. You can also do things to absorb yourself more in Bhagavan and Krishna and avoid the things that take you away. And you can see, okay, my bhakti practice has become a little loose. Unfortunately, you will get wet when you swim in the material ocean, so that is to be expected. But let me make a study. How can I pick myself up again? And finally, you can see, I have this habit to always, I want attention, I want praise. Maybe this is because I have a confidence problem. Maybe I'm not confident in myself and therefore always am so dependent on the validation of others. Is there something which I can do to increase my confidence and so on? You will have to do all these positive things, but I think when we hear this list, we say, okay, I don't want to go this path because I'm not sure that I would become Dvivida. Dvivida's end was glorious. Let us release the pause button and continue with the Leela. So Balaram has now made the decision, this monkey must die. He took up his club. They come when he calls for them. They were not there before. He doesn't go dancing with club and plow, you know. He calls them, and he is ready. And a great battle ensues between Dvivida and Rama, or Rama meets here Krishna, Balaram. And finally, I will not go through the steps of the battle. If you are interested to hear, you can read in the 67th chapter of the Bhagavatam. Finally, Lord Baladev is giving a blow against the collarbone. Collarbone is Schlüsselbein, so viel ich weiß, and Dvivida becomes freed from his demonic tendency or his opposed tendencies, and goes and merges or becomes one with the Dvivida in the spiritual world. A glorious end. What it means is that Balaram has corrected the mistake. This is what this pastime teaches us. The Balaram, that on one hand, it is possible to become compromised in bhakti, but there is help at the lotus feet of our spiritual master. I always like to say, at the line of gurus in which we stand, Prabhupada first, and as it goes back, these exalted acharyas whose we have to do two things. Listen to the instruction and render service. This package, following, understanding, but then rendering service and asking the questions which we develop, the doubting questions, in a respectful mood, that will be able to take care of this. Hare Krishna. Lord Balaram ki. Did you find this stimulating? Could you find some things that you might like to correct in your lives? I certainly can relate to this very much. The earth is spinning around, the moon is hanging upside down. Why are you all laughing at me? Bring my drink, you know. May Balaram's intoxicated state protect you from becoming intoxicated by Maya. My dear devotees, ultimately, we have to become lovers. We have to become intoxicated with love of Godhead. Once, and I will end here. There was a great, great avadut saint at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His name was Vamsidas Babaji. Mm-hmm. Vamsidas Babaji. You have seen photos of him. He has hair and beard, and his eyes, you would say, and he has faraway eyes. He sees something which is not apparent to our eyes. Vamsidas is reported, he had a very, very close relationship to his deities, Gonitai and also Gopal. And if he would travel by bullock cart. He would always take these deities with him. Then he would make camp under a banyan tree or pipa tree that were his preferred trees, sacred trees. And he would speak to the deities. When someone would come, Vamsidas would talk. And sometimes someone would ask a question. Vamsidas would look at Gonitai and say, Gauranga, what do you say? And of course the normal visitor did not hear Gauranga's answer, but then Vamsidas spoke. So there was one regular visitor in Navadvip who came at the bank of the Ganga where Vamsidas stayed for some time, and he would do what you do when you see such sadhus. You should bring something. In Vrindavan it is a tradition you bring a basket of fruits, you know. So he would bring some sabjis means vegetables, and he came to Vamsidas Babaji, and Vamsidas Babaji was again in his faraway state with the Lord. He said, how do we attain God? Vamsidas, he was really with his consciousness not in our domain. He was with the Lord. He didn't give an answer. He had not heard it most properly. The second day, this regular visitor, they understood. He is a very exalted soul. He said, Babaji Maharaj, again I please asked, how do we attain God? What is the easiest way? And again, Vamsidas Babaji must have chanted, or you know, he didn't hear it, or there was no answer. The visitor, no, you know, in India, you know that there are such sadhus and they are exalted and wonderful. And so he came a third day and asked, how do we attain God? Vamsidas looked at him and you can see it in my eyes. He zeroed in. Did you come to ask a question? Yes, Maharaji. How do we attain God? Listen now to the answer of this great saint. It is only one word answer. It is only a one syllable answer. This syllable has only three letters. Cry. We know Rupa Goswami has said, if there is a price for love of Godhead, it is our lolium, our eagerness. No? So before we can cry for God, for Krishna, and now at the moment we cry for other things, before we can do this, we will have to think of purifying our heart. And the heart, Jiva Goswami makes this point. We heard about this in the summer camp. He gives us three things that we might look at to purify our heart. One is surrender. Your will, Krishna, your will. I will try to serve your will. The second is to serve devotees who are established in the truth. This is how it Jiva Goswami says. I don't know the Sanskrit, but I read a reliable translation. Those devotees who are established in the truth, we serve them. And the last thing is very interesting, to hear about the all auspicious pastimes of the Lord. Because that creates an attraction in the forgetful soul for Krishna. So these purify the heart. Also to chant the holy name is mentioned, to chant and praise the names, forms, characteristics, you know, gunas, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Yeah? That purifies our heart, and when our purified heart is there, we will cry tears of ecstasy. They will be very sweet. Or as we say in Bengali language, sweet.
Mishti.
Mishti, yes. Yeah. Our Deva Dama is also here. He knows these things. But on this way, it is good to go directly and indirectly. The direct path has been Jiva Goswami gave, and there, of course, we have a lot of other instruction. And the indirect path is look at the obstacles, see how it develops. When you have no faith, or when you have no enthusiasm, usually you were something like this came into your life and you didn't recognize it as something that needs to care. You must sometimes put a chokidar in your life who recognizes. In Western world we say an Rauschmeißer, you know, who throws out the things when your spiritual life becomes compromised. But again, by surrender to the spiritual master and what he teaches and do that, you can move on. I thank you very much. This was in preparation of Balaram's appearance day. When is Balaram's appearance day again? It's coming soon, no? 9th of September? August. Where are we now, if I may ask? 27th. Yes, it's coming. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, coming soon. Balaram. Right there, see, his color is also very white, no? Very white, camphor, like camphor white. Good, anyone wants to ask? Our Damodar Prasad, yeah, I see a few hands. Let us start. We have a microphone for you, Damodar Prasad.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I have a question to the point you were quoting these. Jiva Goswami, who describes these different mistakes we can do. And I have a question to Kutilyam, crookedness.
Yes.
And I was reflecting how, in my experience in in an institution there can be some cultish tendencies, dynamics,
yes,
which create pressure on the members. They have to behave in a certain way, and it can reinforce this tendency that we are not authentic and we are crooked. And I thought you might, because you've been speaking about this topic of being authentic in our devotional practice last year, I remember, if you can just say something practical we can do as an individual, and in this way hopefully shape the collective dynamics in the institution so that we can be more authentic and don't have to be crooked.
Yeah, yeah. In order to fit in, you know, and so on. Yes, this is definitely a point that we need to address. Damodar Prasad, I like the answer which Keshava Maharaj gave very much. He said he had talked to a devotee friend in Vrindavan about the institution ISKCON. And this devotee friend had told him, yes, ISKCON is like a river. In which we swim, like you are the temple president, here's the Zurich temple, and we are doing service here, if we live here, and so on. And we swim like in a boat on this river. It has its huge advantages, you know. I have an audience on Sunday morning. I would have slept without the institution. Most probably. So there are very good things which happen in an office. But, he said, the things start to get problematic when the river comes into your boat. Then it sinks your boat, you know. If you, in other words, think, my life is ISKCON. This is not right. And your identification is there. Jeev Krishna Das, you are a servant of Krishna. That is the eternal, unchangeable truth, and so on. I like also the model of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. He said there are three levels in ISKCON. There is the office, or let us say, there's the office which manages and arranges things, but there is underneath it the devotional processes, the timeless process of chanting, chanting Krishna's names, associating with devotees, hearing and relishing the Bhagavatam, going to holy places, serving the deities, these Panchanga Bhaktis. And then there is also something, there's a goal. The goal is to develop love of Godhead. No? So yes, these things should be kept sacred in our lives, and you know, when you are moving in any group, groups organize themselves around certain styles. They say, for instance, they greet each other. Some groups with hello, and we do it with Haribol. You know, so. That's normal when human beings organize each other. They develop a certain culture and so on. And you will know how much of that you will do when you are strong in your individual path of Panchanga Bhakti and going towards love of Godhead. And you may sometimes a little, like for instance, I give you an example which I find acceptable. I am in this, in the Hare Krishna movement, an older devotee, and there is a certain expectation in the movement. And sometimes when I come to a festival if I come just from Vrindavan, I have hair, I have a beard, and if I would come in a temple, all the young bhaktas will faint, and the Matajis will faint. Maybe that's not such a good example. So I know Vaishnavas, they have a certain dress and a certain hairstyle. So why not? I'm not the body. So I should not be attached to a certain style. So if this is how the culture sees it, we all human beings need some type of culture in order to arrange their life smoothly. So I do this, but there are crookedness that is unacceptable. No? There is polite behavior or socially aware behavior, you could call it. It's just also like when you go in the church, you don't go in your bathing dress into the church. Although the church might be as it is in Adriatic countries, Adria, just next to the water, you think, okay, I'm just here in my bathing shirt. I want to see the, what do I do, let me see. And you dress a little bit more appropriately. That's, I don't think, is crookedness. That is a socially aware behavior. There are reasons why we dress like this, why we shave up. It has to do with trying to invite sattvic influences in our life, So why not? But crookedness is, don't let the water come and sink your boat. Yes, I could give examples. If I would now give examples, I'm not so comfortable. I leave it up to my audience to see that, and perhaps see what is for them a crooked behavior, or what is for them when there is too much institutionalism in their lives. Do you need to see that with your own discrimination? If I would now give examples, I'm not happy. I would attack different things, but the way my little intelligence works, the things are always connected with persons. I would attack persons, and I do not like to do, just not the type, and I'm sitting on the sacred seat. It's not, you can discuss in the corridors amongst yourself where it gets crooked, and but there needs to be awareness of it. Too much institutionalism really kills spirituality. This is not my words. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has written this Putana article. Have you seen that? Where he says that the Putana witch represents institutional religion, and it is always wants to kill the child Krishna. It by putting, we need some rules, but if they become too much, if they take too much the freedom of the individual away, if there is some undue amount of pressure, some discipline we need, but it can go in the opposite direction, and then independent spirituality is suffering, the free expression. It's a balance, I can only say. And sometimes we get totally out of balance.
But you have seen, you are intelligent. I don't want to give a political talk here now. You have seen, you know. Good. Another one. Here is Haridev. Haridev from the Haridev Mandir. Yes.
Yeah. Krishna Guru Maharaj, I want to ask, what is our responsibility if we see someone who is close to us has these doubts over it after the faith? Mm-hmm. And what is our role, and what should we do, and what we shouldn't do in this situation? When we see that she or he cannot get out of it.
When we can see this, you have to be a little careful. You first need to find out, does the person see? Can he identify a doubt? How are you feeling? How is it going on? And if the person is willing to talk about it, you can say, would you like to explain it more? Perhaps we can talk about it. You have to be very sensitive to the person. What you should not do is be judgmental. Oh, you are a doubter. Because then the moment you are judgmental, you exclude the person from your association. You should sometimes you may not be the right person. It may be that a more closer person can help much more. What I personally do, because I'm a little senior, you know, older in age, you know, and often devotees come to me in confidence and say, I have some doubt. Yes, would you like to speak about it? And then when they want, I often say, yeah, this doubt, when I can relate to the doubt. Most of the time I had all these doubts myself. So I can say, well, I had this also, and what helped me was I explored this, I read this shastra, I talked to this devotee, I saw some wonderful examples, and I will always say my story is like, is a person who had severe doubt after joining. I thought the whole process does not work because I had not changed. And I wanted to leave the movement because it had not worked for me. I was spiritually interested, at least I think so, and I wanted to try other things like Buddhism. I felt interested because they address the mind very much. And work with the mind in this. But I had this dilemma. I had developed affection for Prabhupada, deep affection. I thought, yeah, he is, wow, this is an example. So what I did is I re-examined the process of self-realization in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. What do you do? And I discovered some beautiful things, mostly in relationship to chanting the holy name, and I became totally determined to chant. At that time I developed this that I will chant many more rounds than 16 rounds, many more. I will chant all day and late into the night as much as I can, and let me then see if something changes. And something changed, and it's still changing. So I had this doubt after faith, after an initial beginner's faith, I would call it, and I was blessed by Prabhupada. I can only see it like this, that because I had this still one thing left, the faith in Srila Prabhupada, and then through his mercy, the help came.
which need it. So let them speak about the doubt and don't judge them. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. No judgment. No judgment. No judgment. No. We ISKCON people are very expert in judging because we have high standards, and this is an aggressive type of communication that is not helping. It doesn't help the person, nor does it help ourselves, because we become more judgmental the more we judge. We may have our own, and it is necessary for each one to have their own convictions, their own realizations, their own insights. That is necessary. It is good. It helps an individual to get certitude. But when it comes to dealing with others, it's not helpful when you judge them. My dear devotees, I'm looking at the clock there. It's just opposite to me. It's a clock you cannot avoid to look at because it looks at you, and it's such a direct relationship. And it's now, I'm 20 minutes over time, which is not good for those who are hungry this morning. And also, I have an appointment, a very important appointment for me. So I would love to end here the class. I'm still here a little more at afternoon. I'm so much with you. We are in the same house now. After 1 o'clock, we are in the same house. Let me please end here and wish you all the best. I hope it was inspiring for you and helpful for you. All the best, and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.